Well, good morning, everyone. Just wanted to let you know there is a motion or a piece of paper in place by the deacons right now to make this a nut-free place. The motion is that they get rid of the senior pastor. So if you want to sign that motion so we'd be a nut-free environment, see the head of the deacons board after. You can turn to your Bibles. I know it was a bad joke, but it was on the fly. Turn to your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In your pew Bibles, that's page 907. If you don't own a Bible, we'd love for you to take the one at your feet as our gift to you. Luke chapter 1, verses 26, and we're going to read to 48, 49. Let's read. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by the statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Holy Spirit of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of her who was called childless. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel left. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt inside of her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and your children will be blessed. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, then the baby leapt inside of me. Blessed is she who has believed the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her." And Mary said, "My soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor upon the humble condition of his servant. Surely, from now all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done a great thing for me, and his name is holy." Well, God, as we enter into this Christmas time. For most of our nation, this is just a time of presents and a time of holidays. And Lord, they have many forgotten the real meaning of Christmas. But we don't want to forget. We don't want to make the primary reason for Christmas secondary or third. We want to dig deep into a season that we've celebrated all of our lives and that we think we know everything there is about Christmas and about your coming as a baby into this earth. But Lord, there are new things, new revelations, new ways this can affect our lives today. So I pray you would help me, a simple man, to talk about this great event that happened in this woman's life. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I'm going to retell the story that is one of the most famous stories in the Bible, about one of the most famous women in the Bible that you've all heard. Every Christmas, probably, it was read in many of your houses to you, and it can be something that you just take for granted. You know the story. I heard some of you saying the words as I was reading them. But I want to tell it and maybe fill in some gaps. I'm going to stick to what we know and try and help get our minds into what might have been going on in the heads of the people involved in this story. The scene takes place in the district of Galilee. Gravenhurst is a town, but it's also a district, right, that encompasses other areas, right? You think of a little town called Housy Rapids, which a lot of people don't know is in the district of Gravenhurst, right? And the same as that is the same as Nazareth. It was in a district of Galilee. And this town called Nazareth was what you could say was a little podunk hick town, like a nothing town. Nothing really big ever came out of this town. Nothing significant. It's one of those places you'd pass through and you'd keep going. It's not the place you'd take the family for a vacation. In fact, Nathanael, who was one of the apostles of Jesus, when he heard that this man, Jesus, was the Messiah and had come from Nazareth, he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" So that's the scene. But the characters, there's four major characters in our story. The first is Gabriel. Gabriel is one of the three angels that are mentioned by name in the Bible. The first is Lucifer, who rebelled against God and has been in rebellion ever since, that who we know as Satan. The next is Michael, the captain of the angels, the leader of the angels who stayed with God. And the third is Gabriel. Gabriel we see mentioned three times in the Bible, once in the Old Testament, twice in the New Testament. He came to Daniel, the prophet, and delivered a message. His message was that your prayers have been heard by God. Then he came to Zechariah just further earlier on in this chapter and said the same thing. Your prayers have been heard by God. He is a messenger angel. He delivers God's special messages to people. And now we see him the third time here delivering this to Mary. And he must have been an intimidating figure. Because when Daniel, a seasoned man of God, saw him, it says that he fell on his face with fear. When Zechariah, an elderly priest who had served God all his life, saw him, it says, the text says, he was terrified and overcome with fear. This was not some little imp of an angel. This was a scary angel. Then there's these other two characters, Elizabeth and Zechariah. That is her aunt, Mary's aunt and uncle by marriage. They live about 120 kilometers away from where Nazareth is, up in the valleys of the hill country of Judah, Hebron. And then we come to Mary, the main character, the one we all know. This young girl named Mary was engaged to Joseph, who we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. Now, engagement usually lasted about a year. Keeping in mind this is ancient times, as it still is very much in third world countries, people don't live as long as we live now. And so you think that the amount of children that died before the age of 10 was very high in those ancient days and still is in other third world countries. So if you live past 10, you could expect to most likely live to about the age of 45, roughly. So life was short. So that meant people had families at a young age. The marrying age for women and for men then was about 13 to 16 years of age. A little later for men because they were expected to have a trade, a home being built, and a way to support a wife. So a little later for men, but for women it was 13 to 16. So we could assume that the earliest she could have been as young as 12 years of age at this point in the story. And so this young woman who doesn't come from a noble family, yes, she was from the line of David, but there was hundreds of women from the line of David. She was living in Nazareth. She wasn't anything special. She wasn't known for her beauty. She wasn't known for elegant speech. She was just a woman from a peasant town, knowing that the Messiah was going to come from the line of David, but thinking, no way it will come. He'll come from my loins, for I am just a nobody. She's also a virgin, right? Meaning she's never been with a man. And back in those times, that was something that was cherished. One of the biggest ways women had to worry was about being raped, especially by Roman soldiers or highwaymen. So they never ventured too far out of their own little town unless they were with a group of men that could protect them. And so she is a young 12, 13-year-old virgin just living life in this quiet town, which begs us the question, why? Why does God choose her for such a spectacular gift? Why? Why does God choose her? Well, I can see her. And I want you to use your imaginations, okay? This is where we need to go back to our childhood days. And just picture her there in this Middle Eastern town. There's no skyscrapers. There's no cement buildings. The Roman roads have not built proper roads in there because it's a nothing town. It's mud huts. And I can picture her maybe behind her parents' little mud hut. The mud huts would have been about 10-inch thick walls of mud, and over top would have been laid poles with mud and branches mixed in as the roof. And I can maybe picture her behind the house or the little shack, and she's just come back probably from her maybe second or third water run, because that was a young woman's responsibility to go and collect water from the local well or stream. And she's just brought some water back, and maybe she's pouring a bowl full of water to give to their donkey, which would be their main mode of transportation. And as Mary turns around, she, there is this thing that she has never seen, this giant man. I imagine she was quite startled and intimidated there, 7-8 feet tall. She'd never seen him before. Wasn't a Jew, because his clothes were far too elegant to be a Jew from Nazareth. He wasn't a Roman soldier, because his armor was much different than the Roman soldier's armor was. And his face was almost too much to look at. Terrifying. And yet, there's something in his demeanor that tells her he's not here to hurt me. Could this be one of them, she thinks? One of those that my parents have read me stories about? Those from the ancient times that used to talk to the prophets? Oh no, what is going on here? God hasn't spoken to man in 400 years. This can't be real. She peers up. He's there. He's there, and he's looking at me. She's frozen. Her gaze remains lowered. And she can, I can imagine, just hear her heart thumping. You know, in those times when you're really nervous and scared, and all you can hear is bump, 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 bump inside of her chest. And then this voice, more majestic than anything she has ever heard, says, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Her heart just skipped the beat, and her stomach went turned inside out. What is going on here? What? I don't know what to say. She wants to speak, but she's just frozen with fear. Our translation says confused and disturbed, but in the Greek, what confused and disturbed means literally means petrified, like frozen, scared to death there in place. Was this a trick? Am I hallucinating? Did I eat some bad food last night? She's just frozen. And Gabriel, who doesn't read her minds, because angels can't read minds like God, can read body language and sees, oh yeah, I remember yesterday when I was, or 6 months ago when I was visiting Zachariah, he kind of fell on his face terrified. So maybe I better tone it down a little bit. And he calms his voice. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Oh, man, he knows my name, she thinks to herself. Oh, what am I going to do? Everything in her is telling her, run, run for your life. There is this giant man in armor who I can't even look at in front of me. Run. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be named Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And she is overwhelmed, speechless. Can you imagine, like just imagine for yourself, if somebody showed up to you and said, "Shiloh, you, I will give you the secret, the gift that will save the whole entire world. And you now, Shiloh, as you have your head down and your eyes lowered away from me, will have to protect this for the next 10 years in this dangerous, violent country." Can you imagine how overwhelmed you would be? And so she's frozen. "I don't know what to do. This can't be happening. This is too much." And all of the memories, as she's frozen with fear, of the times that her fear has overwhelmed her and petrified her, as it seemed to in this instant, come to her. And she remembers the time, maybe when she was going to the Passover feast to Jerusalem to see the great city which 3 million people from the nations surrounding flood into. And she remembers that she was going to have to travel for 3 to 4 days of hard travel through the mountains, through the high country where the highwaymen watch for these travelers and pounce on them, where women are raped, where men are robbed and beaten. And she remembers that she didn't go because she was overwhelmed with fear. And she stayed back with the lame and those who couldn't go because of health reasons. Fear, the same fear that stops us from going and doing what God has asked her to do and us to do. Fear, he says, "I'm going to be pregnant by God. What are my parents going to say if I go to them and say, 'God has impregnated me'? I'll disgrace my parents. I'll be the laughingstock. What will the people that I've grown up with think? They knew me as a girl who wanted to do well, and now I'm pregnant, and while I'm engaged, they'll think that I am a whore. And what will Joseph say? What's Joseph going to say when he finds out that I'm pregnant and I tell him that an angel told me God was going to impregnate me? He'll have the right to stone me to death. They have that right as a husband." Fear. It must have been so confusing. But she manages to say, verse 34, "How can this be? I haven't been with a man." And the angel replies, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived her son in old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called childless." Mary, nothing is impossible with God. The Holy Spirit? What's the Holy Spirit? I don't know what the Holy Spirit is. She's thinking, what is this going to do to my body? How am I going to explain this? How am I going to raise this baby? I can't live here anymore. How am I going to feed this child? I'm going to have to go. I'm going to be an outcast. I'm going to have to become a prostitute. That's the only way women who have had sex outside of marriage can make it in this country. And Mary looked up and glanced at the angel. She was getting ready to tell him, "She can't do this. You must have the wrong person." And then I imagine that Mary all of a sudden stopped and she remembered. She remembered. Just before you're about to say no to God, maybe you've had one of those memories where you remember, as she probably did, when she was told God sincerely, with the utmost desire, "God, I'm yours. God, use me. God, I want my life to matter for your kingdom. God, here I am." And all of those memories of all of those times that she had sincerely called out to God, that God would use her in this medieval time, in the ancient days where the Israelites had no freedom and God hadn't spoken to anyone in 400 years, all of those came flooding back. And she pushed aside her fear. Said, no more. No more being controlled by my fears. No more letting my fears dictate to me how God will use me. In verse 38, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done according to your word. And I imagine that Gabriel, in his magnificence, smiled. This great angel who had been there since the creation of man, who had roamed the earth, who had come across many men and women over his life, thought, now I see why the Lord chose her. Now I see why he called me out to this nowhere town in this desperate of time and brought me to this young woman. So many men and women have I come across who in their quiet time say, God, use me like you used Moses. So many times have I come across men and women say, God, show me a sign and then I will go. But when the time comes for God to call them, and when the time comes that God shows them the sign and tells them to go, they've got their reasons why they can't do it. The fear of the unknown overwhelms them, and they say, God, this is too much. But not this one. Not this one. The Lord must have known that she would be willing, that her heart was willing to serve. That she was a servant. And maybe I picture as he just watched her for the last second, he probably said, I'll see you in eternity, daughter of Yahweh. And with that, the warrior was off, disappeared. And Mary probably stood there getting ready to carry on the conversation, and all of a sudden he's gone. And she looks about and just sees the town folk going about their business. She probably was thinking for the next couple of days, is this real? Like, did this actually happen? So many questions were rolling around in her mind, but no answers. She couldn't talk about this with her parents. An angel came and visited me and told me he was going to make me pregnant through God. That would be insane. What if this isn't real? I can't talk about it with Joseph. Oh, my, what am I to do? And then I can picture her maybe a week later sitting with her parents and they're eating their dinner, and the angel's words come back and she remembers, consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of her who was called childless. Elizabeth, she yells out in dinner. Elizabeth, your aunt, says her mother. What about her? I need to see her, says Mary. I need to talk to her. You need to talk to her, says her father. You need to talk to Elizabeth, who lives with Zechariah, who lives 130 kilometers away in the hill country of Judah. Do you not remember just a year ago when you wouldn't go on the voyage to Jerusalem and now you want to go to visit Elizabeth? I have work to do. I can't go with you. I can't take you to Elizabeth. We would have to plan this trip for a year. She lowers her head. Then you hear the smooth, calming voice of the mother. Dear, dear, did you know that Peter, son of Nathanael from down the way, he's taking his family there in just a week? Maybe, just maybe, he'll take Mary with them. Yes, Dad, I need to see Mary, Elizabeth. I need to before I'm wed. I'll be a great help. You know they have those three kids, those really rambunctious ones that talk, 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 talk all the time, and it drives the dad nuts. Like, I will help with those kids. I'll be there the whole voyage. I can imagine him shaking his head. I'll think about it. Oh, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Because she knows when Dad says, I'll think about it, most likely Dad's going to cave. And then I picture her a week later and getting in the carriage, being pulled by the mule, on her way, holding little Miriam in her arms, and Joseph standing there with her father, not happy that his bride-to-be is off to a dangerous place through the hill country where evil men lay, but he has to stay there and build his home so that they can get married and live in the home that he must prepare. And I can imagine her another 5, 6, 7 days later showing up at the door. Elizabeth, there's no telephone, there's no internet. She hasn't let them know that she's coming. And there she is. So many emotions flooding her mind. What if Elizabeth is not pregnant? That will mean none of this was true. That will mean that there's something seriously wrong with me. And she knocks. And an older man comes to the door. Zachariah. Mary? Mary? Mary, where are your parents? You didn't tell me you were coming. You should have sent word. We'd have this all prepared for you. Mary, where's your parents? Invite them in. It's just me, Zachariah. It's just you, Mary? Yes, I need to talk to Elizabeth. Okay, come in and I'll fetch your aunt. And I imagine him bringing Elizabeth into the room and Mary greeting her with something like, peace be with you, Elizabeth. In verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt inside of her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she explained with a loud voice, blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come and see me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt from joy inside of me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill that which he has spoken to her. You know, says Mary, you know that I'm pregnant? You're pregnant, Elizabeth. This was real. The angel wasn't lying to me. This is actually happening. And I can imagine Zachariah cutting an angel. What angel? You're talking about an angel like from the old times? You need to tell me about this angel. I had an experience with an angel about 6 months ago. Nobody else believes me, but this is how this happened. He told me this would happen. Tell me about this angel. And then the calm voice of Elizabeth speaks up and said, she is chosen, my love. She is chosen. She is chosen to be God's messenger. She is chosen to bring the gift from God into this world, the gift that will save millions and millions and millions, the greatest gift that humanity has ever known. And Mary says in verse 46, my soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on my humble condition of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed because the Mighty One has done great things for me and his name is holy. Why did he choose Mary? Well, it wasn't because she was some extra special young lady. She actually had a lot in common with you and I. She was very plain, very regular, not known for her beauty or elegant speech, not known from the greatest of families. She didn't have a wealth of money that could bring up Jesus in the greatest of environments. Why did he choose her? A simple reason. She was a woman who had a genuine willingness to be used by God. She didn't just play lip service to it. She was somebody who genuinely didn't want to be controlled by her fears. Yeah, sure, she had hopes and dreams that she would have had to say goodbye, but she was willing to be a servant. And for you and me that genuinely have nothing really special about us, but we have this willingness that we want to be used by God, it is great news. Let's pray. God, I know some people may be in here who maybe they weren't raised in the church. Maybe they're just struggling with, is this all real? They look at this and they say, angels, God making somebody pregnant, this just sounds too far-fetched. But we forget that you're a God who works outside of our little bubble, that works outside of the box that we put you in. You're a God who's either real or not. And as I told the people at the seniors when I gave them my testimony, I'm either completely nuts or this is true. And really, there are only two explanations. Either the writers of this were all nuts and that we're crazy for believing it, or this is true. That you're really real. There is really a God who created us. There is really a God who sent his son to fix this mess of a world that we all find ourselves living in. And that this God who came to Mary is still looking for men and women who sincerely desire to be used by him. And so, God, to those who have the sincerity, who are willing, no matter what you ask them to do, to put aside their hopes and their dreams, to give themselves to something greater, to them, Lord, I would ask that you would speak to them, you would use them, and that we would be a group of people here in Gravenhurst, in a nowhere town, that would be used for eternity's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.